Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for September 16th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Iman. How you doing, Iman?
I am great. Had a fantastic episode to watch last night. Made myself and my roommate some dinner. Had some wine. Very relaxing. Very relaxing.
There you go. So just like the house guests last night, they also had some wine. They also had some dinner. I don't think it was quite as relaxing for them, though.
Yeah, no, I was sitting outside relaxing by a fire watching Devon win her first ever comp in Big Brother history. And they seem to be having an episode of Real Housewives of the Big Brother house. So, which is fine for me. Fine for me. I'm down with it. You know, I love the drama.
Yes. All right. Well, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 42 in the house and another long day of things, you know, moving around. The vote remains unchanged as things stand, for the most part here, we're still looking at Tyler staying. But we are getting some long-term plans being set in motion, especially from Memphis, who we'll talk about. But let's get to it here. We started the day with Christmas and David kind of chatting about potentially getting Ian out, which was exciting to Christmas because she was like, ooh, I'm going to be able to get David on my side. And it was exciting to David because he was like, ooh, I'm going to be able to get Christmas on my side. Christmas talked to the cameras and she was like, I'm very excited that David wants Ian out. Like, that makes things easier. She really did not like it when Danny said that Memphis or Enzo would have to be a pawn when the disruptor power was used. That was no for her. She's done with Danny. She says she knows that if Nicole can find a way, she'll try to keep Ian, which tells me that she's willing to get rid of an alliance member for him. He's obviously her untouchable. That's not okay. That's not okay. Well, it's okay because it's Big Brother. But it's too obvious, so it's not okay. Christmas really doesn't like untouchables. It's like, what's wrong? Well, you get rid of the crust. That's all.
She the numbers are dwindling, Christmas. Like, I understand the fact that, like, it is a bit troubling for you if Danny and Nicole, or more so Danny, was thinking about putting you up on the block instead of Ian, who's not in the alliance. But I mean, what's going to happen next week? If this happens again, if David or Devon or Kevin win HOH, what then? What then? Are you going to be pissed off because your alliance is putting up another, and like someone on your alliance is up on the block? Like, it's going to happen eventually. So she's just annoying me, but fine, whatever.
You know what she does a lot? She does like this motion a lot. And it,
she does do that.
That's that. What's that? What bothers me. Anyway, I just thought we were airing grievances about Christmas, so I just needed to get that out. She's like, it's too much. She's she probably does it to her baby a lot. I'm not your baby. I don't do that to the cameras.
She says that
Ian has to go. She says she likes Nicole. She wants to continue to work with her. But she sees how she plays the game. She tries to play young, innocent, she sees that. It feels like Nicole is trying to put herself in a similar position to the one that Nicole is trying to put herself in, or that the Christmas is trying to put herself in. So she recognizes that. She says that Cody needs to be gone soon. He's a really good competitor. This next HOH might get heated. She loves this game.
It's just like, I mean, she does all this, she talks all this stuff, but I just really don't know if she's going to go ahead and do it, because when her feet are held to the fire, she's so about the team that if she's not going to want to win HOH until like 3 weeks from now, because she's going to be more focused on getting David, Kevin, and Devon or Ian out of here. So it's nice to hear her talking about turning on people. I just feel like she's going to be the one that gets got, and she's going to be the one that blows up. So I'm just, it'll be nice to have this to be able to flash back to. And I'm like, you should have considered turning on the team earlier than you are. But whatever, Christmas, 'tis the season.
I mean, I will say, I think almost more than anyone, she is willing to turn on the team. She's following the Paul rule book, and she's following that rule book in the sense that, like, it's time to start cutting the fat. And she's talking to Memphis about it, and I think she's ready to go. I don't think that she would love to be the one to do it herself if she can help it, but she is trying to put the pieces together to do it. Now, I think the problem is that she is too susceptible to the people that she's talking to. So if she talks to Memphis, she talks to Enzo, she talks to Tyler, these people tell her, no, don't target Cody yet. She'll probably be like, oh, okay. So we'll go for Danny or whoever. And I think that's where she'll get tripped up.
Yeah. I mean, I would love for her to, these morning talks, they're great. Awesome. I love to hear what's in your head. I love that you are being candid with us and candid with yourself, because in a lot of ways we just do see Christmas, the soldier. So it is nice to see that she's talking like this. I just don't know if she'll be the one to pull the trigger. I mean, she might be able to regain my fanship if she does. As of right now, I'm still annoyed with her. So
Look, here's the thing. We don't have to not be annoyed with her to accept that she might actually pull the trigger. And we don't have to be a fan of her, even if she does.
You are correct, Taryn, but I probably will still be a fan of her if she pulls the trigger. That's all it takes. I'm easy, okay? That's all it takes with me.
All right. Quote of the podcast. All right. Christmas is going to go and talk to Memphis. And she says that she overheard Nicole and Ian talking about probably referring to Danny, that she really feels like those people are really in tight together. She thinks Nicole is legitimately trying to save Ian. And Memphis is like, no way. No way. The risk reward in doing that is so bad. I don't think she's that stupid. I think she's just trying to save face with Ian. And Kristen's like, okay. All right. You set me straight on that one. Thanks for restoring my faith. And that's kind of what I mean. Like, she'll talk to somebody and they'll kind of get her back on board for now. She says, okay, well, look, we talked about, so the day before they had talked about pulling in Enzo as a third, and lining up shots at the committee via Enzo after next week. So they talked about that. It was a future plan. I said yesterday that she jumped the gun and went to Enzo. She says, hey, so yesterday I talked to Enzo about, potentially. And he was like, too soon. Whoa. Why are we talking to Enzo so soon? And she was like, I just feel like he's receptive. I just was kind of feeling him out. And he says, well, we should keep that on ice for a little bit because we don't want to jump the gun and then find ourselves sitting on the block next to him. And he's got things that he can out us with. Like, we need to be careful about this. But I'm 1,000% on the same page. The final three conversation needs to happen probably within the next 10 days or so. And this is when I was really feeling the thing that Memphis has is patience. It's how he put together the committee is that he did it very slowly. And, you know, to this day, people still have trouble placing him in that alliance because of just how patient he is with the conversations that he has. The fact that he doesn't need constant reassurance and doesn't give constant reassurance allows him to separate himself from the group at large and keep himself safe from being linked into them. And also, like, just his timing in terms of how he's playing. He says that he thinks that Enzo feels super comfortable in the house and is riding that wave, which is why he'd be receptive to them approaching him, because Enzo's going to take any offer he gets. Which I think is a good read. Now, he thinks that he doesn't know that Enzo's already been scooped up, but I think the way that he sees it is that, and because Enzo feels so good with everyone, maybe he has been scooped up somewhere else. But even if he has, he's the kind of guy who's going to accept any deal he gets and probably isn't going to rat them out. So, I'm enjoying his gameplay this season. It's very different than what we normally see.
I wonder why that is.
I think that it's actually an interesting I said this from the start. It's like the steampunk of Big Brother strategy, and it's working this season, I think.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it definitely is. He's very, very, very placid. Okay. Like you said, he put together the committee. Now that the committee is beginning to lose a bit of its gas, now he has to start thinking about the end game and putting together some sort of like double alliance now. So it's interesting. Good job, Dan Giesling. I'm liking it. And I think that
why do you say that?
I mean, I just feel like there has to have been conversations that have taken place. Obviously, Memphis is the one that is doing it, so I cannot ascribe everything to Dan, because it is one thing to plan things. It's another thing to execute the plan. I'm only just saying he is demonstrating a level of strategy that, yes, of course, he could have come up with all on his own. I just don't think that is entirely true. But the execution of it, very well done. Very well done. We say now. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. I feel like this plan that he's trying to come up with, forming two alliances. Well, we'll get to it, but we'll talk about that in a second. But I'm enjoying what I'm seeing from him so far. And you're right that he is able to sort of like detach himself, because, you know, Memphis, he goes about his day. Okay. He wakes up, he gets his coffee. He sits there in the living room. He goes outside. Like, if people want to talk to Memphis, they come and talk to him. Like, he doesn't have to, like, do all this, like, scrolling around like everybody else does. He is literally just, I'm chilling. And that energy that he gives off really makes people feel like, this guy, I mean, he seems a little dangerous, but he's not really coming for me. Like, I think he's in the committee. Like, he'll be fine. Like, he's in a really, really, really good spot. So, kudos to him.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that the way that Memphis is playing, I feel like is so very inspired by Dan. I do think the one thing we have to remember when it comes to Memphis is that he was called like right before they went into sequester. So I don't think he was like staying up for weeks planning with Dan or anything. But I do think I'm sure they had conversations. But I think even more so, he's inspired by the way that Dan plays. I think he admires Dan a lot based on the way he talks about him. And I think that he's trying to emulate Dan's gameplay. I mean, remember, Dan has coached people prior to playing the game before. He has talked to people prior to playing the game before. And they don't exactly, I think pretty sure Carol from Big Brother Canada 8 was also in communication with Dan, or at least she read his book or something.
Yes. So like, some people are top of the class and some are
I just think that in general I think that we talk a little too much about the people outside of the game and overstate their influence.
I agree. I definitely think that out of the two people that a lot of people like to blame this season on, I think that Dan is probably if we were going to place blame, I feel like Derek is probably up here somewhere and Dan is probably I feel like Dan wasn't doing a lot. I'm just saying, if there's one person that he talked to.
Oh, yeah.
Memphis.
Memphis is. I completely agree. I think that everything Memphis is doing is so inspired by Dan. And we'll talk very specifically about it in just a second. Yeah. That I think there's one play especially that feels so much like a Dan. But we have to remember that Memphis was in the, he experienced it firsthand. If there's anyone that would have been directly influenced by Dan without being told to do something, it would have been Memphis.
Right. Yeah. And I agree with that. I feel that's a very important thing to remember, is that even though Dan was obviously the one that was doing a lot, Memphis was involved. And it's we can't strip him of any agency that he had. It wasn't always his brainchild, but he was a part of the plan. So, it's easy to sort of be okay, well, I saw what we did here, so let me just go ahead and do it again. So, yeah, it's working.
Well, Christmas talks again to the cameras after talking to Memphis. She says, there's so many different ways to cut this up. She really needs to figure out who she's actually going to bring along. She says that she needs to make sure when she gets to the end, she hasn't burned herself for jury. She says when she gets there, she'll own it and not try to deny the level of manipulation that she's had to participate in. Right now, she feels like it's been minimal, but she may have to start ramping it up soon. And when she gets there, she's going to own it. And I could hear what wasn't being said there, which is unlike Paul. Right?
Yeah.
Because again, just like Memphis sees himself as the Dan, Christmas sees herself as the Paul this season. And I think that she wants to play. She thinks that she's the Paul. She thinks that she's going to get there and she's going to correct the mistakes that Paul made, and she's going to own her game and she's going to win.
I mean, I'm glad that you are self-aware. I don't know if I'm on board yet, which is so peculiar, being is that I chose her as one of my draft members. I think that I was misted by the utter enthusiasm that she had for getting the call. I guess the emotion just got to me. But based off of how she handled the situation with Bailey, I wonder if she'll be able to manipulate and also deal with the fact that, because you have, not only does she have to own up to it, at the end of the game, you have to own up to it during the game too. And I just don't know if she has the skill set to be manipulating somebody. They end up on the block. They find out that she was the reason that they were on the block. And then she has to be oh, well, yeah, you know what? Yep, I did it. It's fine. I feel like she's going to have to be defensive because she doesn't want her game to leak, because she doesn't have the finesse to manipulate people without them knowing that she's doing it. So I wonder if she'll be able to get there. I'm glad that she's thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. So Memphis is going to go and talk to David briefly. He says they just briefly talk about hey, let's keep this up. Memphis says, keep doing what we're doing. It's working for us. Day using the veto was great for the two of them because it takes the heat off of us. Look, sometimes you can just sit back and let it ride. And David says he admires how Memphis has played, watching people blow themselves up, watching Memphis play this game. He's really come to admire the way he plays it. And Memphis says, yeah, sometimes it's about shutting up and letting other people have the attention.
What's the deal with these two? I just don't get it. This relationship is so strange to me, because one hand, Memphis is talking all this stuff about David. He's got to go. He doesn't deserve to be here. He's very simple-minded. And then the next thing, they're chumming and, talking about how they admire each other's games. And, at the end of him taking himself off the block, he's got his arm around him and everything. I'm just what is going on here? I just don't get it. I don't get it.
What's going on is that David thinks that he's squashed this because it's not good for his game to be locked into this feud, and that he's got bigger fish to fry. And Memphis is Sure. If you want to think that. Memphis, I fully believe if he won HOH next week, would target David. That's what he literally just got done saying to Christmas before this conversation.
Which is such, like, I mean, at some point in time, that would have been the perfect read. And I feel like as of now, it's not as accurate because I think that David really does kind of just want to move on and target some other people. I mean, you heard him say as much. So this could be an interesting pairing if the two of them actually were interested in coming together. But this whole, like, cold war that they got going on between the two of them, I'm just like, okay, I'm over it.
Look, so is David. So is David. Yes. All right. So Memphis then is going to go and talk to Enzo. And this is when we finally get a taste of what is Memphis's endgame plan. Mm-hmm. He had a very good plan to get himself halfway through the game or close to it, like to jury. I mean, he's talking about in the next couple of weeks. So he's literally talking about like halfway through. But I've always been like, okay, but where does he go from there? A lot of people are looking at him like, okay, is he just coasting along? Is he not going to be able to kick it up into another gear when he gets there? Now we're learning about his plan. It's an interesting one. I'm not sure that it will work, but it's an interesting one. He says, first of all, Ian campaigned to me the other night, and he's like an entirely different person all of a sudden. It's we got to get this guy out of here. We got the votes to get him out of here. He says, all right, Enzo, I've got an idea to get us to the final two. I want for us to make two separate final threes, right? So I'm going to bring somebody to you in the next couple of weeks, and we're going to make a final three with them. And then I'm going to bring another person to you, and we're going to make a final three with them as well. But really, it'll be us two having two separate final threes with each of them. And so really we'll have four, but they'll think we have three, and in reality we have two. But if we do this like a couple of weeks from now, final eight or so, we have four, then we'll have half the house locked in with us too. And so the only way this works is if we're both here in 2 weeks, obviously. So I don't want to pull the trigger too soon. We're gonna, you know, slow play this, but here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. I want to name both of these final three alliances the same thing.
You know,
this is the Dan in him. This is the showmanship.
Getting cute. Getting cute. I mean, you had me at, you know, two separate final threes to make it one big final four. You'd have half the house. But when you start talking about naming them the same thing, I mean, if it's eight of you left, I'm assuming you guys are trying to keep the committee together, right? So I'm assuming that most of the people that are going to be in the house at final eight will be committee members, meaning that they will have spent the entire game plotting with each other, meaning that a lot of them are going to have relationships where they feel like they need to continue to plot together. So what makes you think that people are not going to compare notes when they've been comparing notes the entire game? Like, I don't want to shit entirely on the plan, but at least name it something different, okay? Like, I feel like that's what's going to blow your game up, okay? And Memphis, you were kind of close to ending up on the block this week, just a little bit. So I'm like, I don't think that you want to get too cute with this alliance because it's getting a little messy.
I kind of like the idea. Not only for the showmanship aspect of it, but the key to all of this is convincing Enzo that he's 1,000% genuine, that Enzo is the guy, that he's approaching Enzo, that Enzo is the real final two. And so, because if Enzo rats this out, then it doesn't work. But it's very beneficial for Enzo to not rat it out, as long as Enzo trusts that Memphis is genuine about it. And
I don't think that Enzo will. I mean, we've seen, like, he is very judicious with the information that he gets. Like, we've seen people tell him things that you would think that he would go and blow it up, and he hasn't done it so far. So I think that Enzo is definitely the right bet. I'm assuming Christmas is the other one that he's thinking about.
Right. So we'll briefly get into who his choices are. But I think my point is that by telling Enzo that, like, we are, like, it's us too. And Enzo knows that Memphis played with Dan, and he knows how they played. Like, it's us too, and we will be making fools of the other people. Like, we are the ones that are going to be making, we know the inside secret, which is that both of these alliances have the same exact name. And there's nobody else for me to betray you for, because you are in the final two. You are in both of these alliances. Whereas, like, you know, if they're named different things, then it's like, okay, but how many of these do you really have? But when you're able to see the whole picture, it actually, I think, does feel more genuine. And then there's also, like, little things like, you're never going to accidentally say the wrong alliance name, to somebody. But I'm 1,000% like, digging too deep into this one idea, but I kind of like it.
You're making a case for it. I mean, and that's true. I mean, you make it as clean as possible, right? Just name one thing, and that way, like, you always know what you're talking about. I just wonder, like, and maybe it could, because if you convince Enzo that this is a good thing for him, and even if something were, even if you run into, like, a bit of a hiccup, the other two members, they might just be like, well, I mean, this could be a majority, so I might as well stick with it. Like, if you can convince the other people to sort of have, like, the same line of thinking as Enzo, then maybe this can work. I guess it really just depends on who are the people that you were bringing in, and are they going to be the type of people to either blow it up or, you know, stay the course.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's my problem with the idea, is that I actually, from a strategic level, I think it's, I kind of like it. It's very steampunk. It's very interesting. It's very old school brought into new school. I love a lot of aspects of it. I love the naming it the same thing, but I think that Memphis's read is bad. His read on Enzo is good in the sense that I think Enzo really won't rat this out. The read that is bad is the read that cost him in Big Brother 10 too, which is the jury. He thought he could beat Dan in the jury. He thinks he can beat Enzo in the jury, I think. Mm-hmm. That's a problem, because I don't think he will. He's going to go and talk to Danny right after talking to Enzo. And in his conversation with Danny, he brings up the fact that he thinks that Christmas would beat all of them in the jury because she's a single mother. You don't want to go against that. So that's why I think he's hesitant to have Christmas as the real final two, because he thinks that she might beat him as a single mother. So whereas if he goes up against Enzo, then he'll have a better chance. I think that's wrong. I think that he has a great chance to beat Christmas in the end. I think that he does not have a great chance to beat Enzo in the end. So this is where Memphis could really screw himself up, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's going to be hard to beat Enzo at anything at this point, because everybody, I mean, that's it. Yo, like, he's good with everybody. So yeah, if he is indeed planning on making it all the way to the final two with Enzo, then this is probably not the route that you want to go. I wonder if it's even possible for him to even make it that far, even if this alliance takes place, because someone is going to get clipped along the way. Like, you can't, I really doubt that this is going to stay intact all the way to the final. So, I mean, we'll see, but I mean, I would agree. I don't think that wanting to take Enzo all the way to the end is probably your best bet, and people aren't as sympathetic to Christmas as you believe, because I certainly am not sympathetic to Christmas. So
yeah. So
who would be the other person? That's what I'm
okay. Oh yes. So and we'll find out later in the day. But obviously he's already talking to Christmas about working with Enzo in a final three. So obviously Christmas is one of the final threes. The other one is going to be Cody. So in Memphis's mind, he has a final two with Christmas. He has a final two with Cody. Now he's making a final two with Enzo to make final threes with Christmas and Cody separately. That's going to be the play. And he's going to approach Cody about this a little bit later. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
For your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Danny, as I said, talks to Memphis. Now, the night before, Nicole went to Danny and she was like, why does Ian have to go? And Danny promised that she would feel Memphis out to see if he was potentially willing to consider getting rid of Tyler instead of Ian. And so this is what she's doing here in the morning. She's feeling Memphis out. She says she just wants to make sure they're making the right move. She says, Nicole, and this was a mistake. She says, Nicole has Ian 100% in her back pocket. And she realized the mistake as soon as she said it, and she tried to pull it back. She was like, which is bad for later, but good for now. Memphis is like, look, Ian is dangerous. He's played us all like a fiddle this whole season. He talked to me last night and he was a completely different person. He was looking me in the eye. He was, talking to me, with confidence.
Somebody on the block trying to come off the block.
It's like, look, we're just not there yet. You can't put the cart before the horse. Let's not blow things up here. Danny says, well, here's something else. Don't tell anyone, but there's a rumor going around. And by rumor, she means wall yeller, that Christmas has a final two with Tyler. Memphis is like, who would want to sit next to the end against Christmas? She's a single mom. That's when he said it. And he continues to push back against Ian, saying he does say, OK, well, look, I will approach Christmas today and try to feel her out, see if she's got a final two with Tyler, see if she's like really defensive of Tyler. Well, I'll try and feel that out. But Tyler can't leave this week. It's not going to happen.
This, like, Nicole is bad for Danny's game this week. I mean, Danny is bad for Danny's game this week. I mean, this tentative energy surrounding Tyler has just been such a thorn in almost everyone's side. And I feel like if you guys really were so committed to this committee, then it would just be an easy bet. Just get rid of Ian. No questions asked. But because Nicole is so adamant about not losing any of her numbers, like this persistent push to keep Ian is really making this. It's just a heavy burden on everyone. And I don't know where the killer instinct in Danny is right now. I understand that she's like scared because, I mean, there's a lot of variables at play, and she has a lot of apprehensions about how she played the game the last time, but you can't take half swings, and you already took half the swing. And now that it's out there, you're trying to maybe complete it if there's room to do it. And now you lost the chance. And I just feel like at this point, you either tell Nicole to her face, because Nicole's not going to do anything. Nicole's not going to do anything. Like, you either tell her to her face, look, I just don't think that the votes are going to happen. I had to put him up there. We got to get him out now. I'm sorry. We will work together to figure something else out. Or you get Tyler out. You just do it.
It's so basically what's happening here is that, like, it's like Danny and Nicole are the children and they're trying to get their parents to let them do something. And Cody is the mom, and Memphis and Christmas are the dad. And the mom is saying, sorry, the dad is not going to let you do this. But really, the mom doesn't want it to happen either. And the dad is also like very firmly against it. But the mom is saying, we can't do this because dad will be very upset. And so then the children are running around to the dad and they're being like, they think, oh, maybe if we convince dad, mom will be on board. So they go around to try and convince dad, but he's even more firm about this not happening. And so the parents are just getting pissed off because now you're trying to run around and undermine their authority.
Try to find grandma at this point. And yeah. No grandma to be found. Yeah, it's just, it's a lot. They're being busybodies. And like, and I, you know, and I get it because like they're trying, I mean, Nicole is trying, okay? Like, and as annoying as, and we'll get to that, but like, she's at least trying to do what she can to maybe plant some seeds here and there. I feel like at this point, I mean, it's Tuesday. Today is Wednesday. Like,
it's a lost cause.
It's not looking good. Yeah.
You're not going to convince Christmas or Memphis. You're not going to convince Cody. If you want to get Tyler out, then you need to accept that you're going to piss off Memphis and Christmas. If you're not going to get Tyler out, you need to stop trying because you're going down this middle path. And at this moment, like, there's no way that Danny's willing to break against Cody. I mean, we'll talk about it, but like, I don't see it happening, which is why I don't see Tyler leaving, because I feel like that's pretty much the only way it happens. And so Nicole is just running around, just doing damage to her game. Left, right, and center here.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And so in this conversation with Memphis and Danny, Memphis mentions, well, Tyler would be first out from the committee when we get to that point. He also mentions that he feels like he would beat Danny easy in a jury vote. These two things Danny loves to hear. Even though I'm pretty sure Memphis is at the very least lying about Tyler being out first, because we know how he feels about Danny. Danny runs back to Nicole and she says, look, I tried with Memphis. He's not budging. I think we should stop. But he did say, look, he said that Tyler would be first out of the committee. Like, even at like final eight, he'd be willing to take. I'm willing to wait 2 weeks. Aren't you willing to wait 2 weeks? She's like, but I gotta lose Ian. And Nicole's like, well, thank you for trying. Like, I can't do it because I'll get in trouble because everyone knows it's coming from me. Memphis, later when he talks to Christmas about this conversation, he's like, obviously this came from Nicole.
Yeah. I mean, Christmas already clocked you earlier in the morning. So I think we know what's going on here, Nicole. I think we know.
Yeah.
The calls are coming from inside the house, okay?
All right. So Tyler's going to talk to Danny. She just wants to know who he's putting up next week. He says, oh, there's three options. And she's like, you would really do that? He says, of course. And she asks, well, who would you put up if you had to choose a fourth? And he's like, I'm not like, this is not what he actually said, but this is what I'm imagining he's saying in his own mind. What do you think? I'm stupid. You think I'm going to tell you who I'm going to put up if those three come off?
Just because you had to nominate four people during your HOH does not mean that I'm going to have to, girl.
what he actually says is, oh man, I don't know. Definitely not you, but we just have to ask for a pawn, I guess. And so she says, okay, well, Kevin has to be the next person to go. He agrees. So
that makes me happy as a Davon fan that like Kevin is the one that's like most likely to go. I didn't actually get to see this conversation. I've only like got to read the updates of it. So I couldn't like really read Tyler's, you know, energy or whatever. We believe him, right? That he's going to go after one of the three, or is Danny the one that is going to be in his crosshairs? Like, is Danny at least a backdoor option? Like, I have to, like, does Tyler let go of stuff like this? Because
I can't read him. I don't know. This is the problem. He's so convincing. He talks to Cody like he's going to be loyal. He talks to Enzo like obviously he's not going to be loyal. And it's like, I think he's more genuine with Enzo. That's my read.
I feel like he would have to be because there's no friction with Enzo. So like,
right.
There's no reason And Enzo, I mean, we know how Enzo's been talking about Danny for weeks, so it would make sense, but I don't know. There's like a piece of me, like the Davon piece of me that is like being like, oh, he's going to get rid of her. Like, I'm trying to say goodbye, say my goodbyes to Davon now. But on the other hand, I'm like, dude, she put you on the block, like outright. Like, she put you on the block. Like, you were an initial nominee. You lost the veto. You're still on the block. There's a chance that you still could be the one to go. Davon? Really? I don't know.
Look, if I had to make a call, I feel like he would target Danny.
She's at least back.
He'd probably have the same. But like, that's the problem. He can't backdoor her, because if he tries to backdoor, he's put in the same spot Danny is right now. Where, I mean, although he'd probably be a little more effective in terms of whipping up votes against Danny. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like he would probably target Danny. I feel like probably more than anything he'd throw the HOH, because he has no need to win the HOH next week. He's not even remotely a target for anybody, especially if Danny doesn't use her power, which he doesn't plan on doing. My true guess is that he throws the HOH, waits a week like everyone else, and then makes his move. That's what I think is going to happen. That's why he can confidently say to both sides that he's going to do both things, because he's not actually going to win yet. And then after next week, he would make his move. That's my guess.
I mean, that sounds like the proper course, because, you know, being the first one, well, he wouldn't be the first one to take a strike because Danny already did that, but being the first one to literally take out somebody in the committee is not so good, although he'd probably have the backup to do it anyway. So, because Memphis would surely back him, Enzo would surely back him. Cody's an interesting one, but
I think the problem is that nobody would back him next week because Day, Kevin, and David are all still in the house. Everybody wants to wait until at least one of them is gone so that there's not three people and there's only two. And if there's only two, then three people is too much in a house of nine. Two people in a house of nine, now they can start targeting each other, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Danny mentions to Nicole, she says, you know, I was thinking about it. The committee has the numbers to control the votes in jury. Like if for some reason only one of us gets there, like, we can control the votes. We can also control the votes in the house. Like, this is insane. Mm-hmm. Like, Danny is like now realizing, like, cause she's never been a big Alliance person. She's like, this big Alliance thing is actually pretty nice. Like, we control the votes in the jury, in the house. She is getting further and further attached, I think, again, to this Alliance, to this idea that she should not piss off the Alliance because it's very beneficial for her game.
Yay. A novel discovery, girl. Have you been watching? You've been watching the past few seasons, right? I mean, I've seen your tweets. I mean, not over the past 2 years because you had me blocked, but you've been watching.
Well, I think she's been watching and is like pissed off at the big alliances, but now that she's in one, she's like, "Oh, it's kind of like when you don't like rich people until you get rich,
you become rich,
and then you're like, this isn't so bad."
Yeah, there's no world in which a committee member. Well, there is a world in which one of them doesn't win, but it's a very, very, very small chance. One of them is going to win the game. There's probably going to be two of them. I don't see a world where only one of them is in the final, so I think it's probably going to be two committee members, and it's just going to be about which one has the best relationship with everybody else. So
we'll see. All right, so Christmas is going to talk, or Tyler's going to talk with Christmas, and he says, okay, I need to talk to you about something. Last night Danny told me that Kevin heard the wall yeller say my name. Now, if you remember yesterday, I talked about this, that Danny gave Tyler the heads up that Kevin heard that Tyler has a power via the wall yeller. Now, Tyler knows that the wall yeller said so and so have a final two. Somebody mm-hmm. has a power. So what Tyler says is that I don't have a power. So if Kevin heard my name, it must have been in relation to so and so have a final two mm-hmm. and somebody has a power, which means that Kevin must have heard that you and I have a final two, which is true. That's Kevin has mm-hmm. said that to Danny. That has been spreading around. People have heard the wall yeller said Tyler and Christmas have a final two, which is what the wall yeller did actually say. And so Tyler is able to piece that together, and he says to Christmas, like, this is annoying because now if Kevin knows that and Danny knew that, like, I bet you this has been spreading around for a while now. And mm-hmm. we're the only people that haven't been let in on because people are pretending like nobody heard it. But clearly somebody did. And clearly this has mm-hmm. been spreading around. So we need to be very careful about defending each other. Like, if you feel like anybody's probing you for questions about me, you can't defend me anymore. Unfortunately, it's great. Like, it was a great thing we had going on where we could defend each other in the past, but with this outside stuff, we can't anymore. So you're going to have to act like you're willing to let me go, whatever, because we have to continue to try and hide this.
Yeah, I mean, I like the cool comic collect, the way that he approaches this, and that's kind of what Tyler does. And once again, wall yellers, like, it's not having the desired effect because they all want Tyler in the game. And people have been talking about the possibility of Tyler and Christmas having a final two anyway. So
well, I just the talk did happen after the wall yeller.
I thought I'd seen them talking about it before.
Like, the wall yeller was deep last week. So here, just to clarify here, the wall yeller happened. Nobody had ever said anything about Tyler and Christmas. Then people started talking about Tyler and Christmas as though they were catching on. Nicole in particular was like, yeah, I've caught them in some things. Now, I don't know if that came from the wall yeller and they were only pretending that they had, you know, caught on, or right. if there were genuine suspicions that they only happened to reveal after other people started talking about it. But right. what I do know is that beyond Nicole, Nicole is the only person who can lay claim to the idea that she's the only person that has claimed that she saw it beforehand. Everybody else heard from the wall yeller.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, look, y'all, like, I feel like I don't have to get back on the soapbox about wall yellers. I just feel like it just kind of sucks to see people have to deal with so much outside influence, because that puts a little bit of a damper on the game. And not to say that I'm sitting here just waiting for Christmas and Tyler to defend each other. Like, I'm really not saying that. I'm just like, what's the point? What's the point here? Like, it's not going to, both of them are going to be here for a while. And there's a bunch of final twos that people are talking about. So them, like, being confirmed in a way, it doesn't really put them higher up on the list. It just makes them, you know, they're just talked about more. So that's what I'm at with it.
Well, I just thought it was super interesting. Like, Memphis and Danny literally just had this conversation, and Memphis was just like, okay, I'll test Christmas to see if she defends Tyler. And then literally, like, half hour later, Tyler's like, we have to watch out for people trying to test us because Danny told me this. And so I think because of that, then this blah, blah, blah. I was like, whoa. Christmas says that, Danny and Nicole did try to pitch for you to go the other night. But I talked them out of it. Don't worry. They're now fully on board to keep you. Don't worry about that. So this is her talking about the bathtub, proposed bathtub pitch that we never saw on the feeds.
That apparently happened.
I don't know if it happened in the bathtub, but it happened at some point, and Christmas was like, no. And so now Christmas felt like she talked them out of it. And now she feels like, via Memphis, that they're not going to try anymore. So she's like, I think I've got this. I think I got them talked down.
I really hope that that does happen, because like, what did she say no to? Did she say, well, obviously she said no to both, but did she also say no to the wine in the tub? Like, I just need to see that. I need to see it.
All right. Well, Cody is going to talk with Enzo. This was a very interesting conversation in regards to Memphis. Enzo says, "Hey, yo, at this point, I trust Memphis more than Danny and Nicole, yo. That's it." And Cody says, "You should trust Memphis more than Danny and Nicole." See, Memphis, what Memphis will probably try to do is he'll probably try to use you to take shots at this crew, the committee. And Enzo's like, yeah, probably, yo. That's probably it. Like, so clearly Enzo, I don't think he's ratted out this thing to Cody. This Memphis pitch. Mm-hmm. And now he's just last night, he was saying, I'll put Memphis and Christmas up, yo. Now he's saying, I trust Memphis more than Danny and Nicole at this point, yo. Mm-hmm. And interesting that Cody completely clocks well, Memphis will probably try to pull you in to use you to take shots. Like, that's probably what Memphis will try to do. And Enzo's like, yeah, maybe that's it. So it seems like this is, Menzo is going to be a genuine thing.
No. Kill it with fire. Douse it in holy water.
All right. I mean, Menzo would be a very apt name, I think, for the season as a whole. All right. Christmas is going to talk to Tyler again. She lets him know that early this morning, David was pushing for Tyler to stay. And he's like, whoa, really? And she says, yeah, but I don't know if Kevin and Day are in as well. And Tyler says, well, this is perfect. You should use that. You should act like David is convincing you to keep me. And then that can be your excuse for why you want to keep me. He's like, oh, David flipped me. And so she's like, okay, that makes sense. Good plan.
Tyler's always he's slowly but surely like getting back into the groove of the game. I really did not know if he was going to have the heart for the rest of it, but now that he has decided, well, I'm in jury, might as well try and take it to the end. You know, each day he's just like sort of like going right back up to where he used to be, because I mean, to be able to say that quickly, like, oh yeah, well then, yeah, perfect. Use that. You know, you got flipped. That's how it's going to work. So he's just always trying to use whatever kind of information that he can to benefit him in any way. So good for Tyler.
Some of the chat says Menzo means stupid / dumb in Spanish. Is that real?
Yo no sé.
I do not know. More apt.
But if it is, then maybe I won't kill it with fire just yet.
Oh boy. Memphis talks to Christmas, and he says, people are saying it's true.
Oh, wow.
I think I stumbled onto something here. All right. Memphis talks to Christmas. He says, I think people are trying to flip this house because of his conversation with Danny, but he says Ian has got to go. He says, Nicole is clearly trying to push Danny to try to get Ian to stay. We can't let it work. He says that he's less concerned about them trying to keep Ian, more concerned that they're trying to take a shot at Tyler, who is in the committee, that he does not like that. They need to make sure it doesn't work.
Wait, okay. I missed like the first half of that. I missed the names of who said who. Can you say that one more time for me?
Yes. Memphis, this is going to really screw me up now. Memphis is saying that Danny was pushed by Nicole to try to keep Ian in the game. He's pissed off that Danny and Nicole are even considering taking out Tyler because Tyler's in the committee. They need to make sure this doesn't work.
Okay. Gotcha. And Danny and Nicole, like we said before, they are making a lot of unnecessary waves that they would have benefited from had they been making these waves like 3 days ago. But because they waited so long, this is like you're starting to, you don't want to piss off your alliance, but you're already pissing them off anyway. So not looking good.
Yeah.
Not looking good.
So David,
maybe Danny should use her power to play HOH next, because
she as of last night to the cameras, she's already like, she is so set in not using the power for herself that she's like, who do I use the power on next week? Like, she is very much not using the power on herself. Mm-hmm. David talks to Christmas, and so Christmas is now trying to play this like, oh, David, you're convincing me to keep Tyler. And so she's like, I just don't know. Like, I don't want to piss off Danny. David is like, what, are we just going to do what Danny wants? We're just going to like let the HOH control things. And she's like, yeah, you make a good point. But like, is everyone on board? Like, I don't want to piss off Danny and then like be left lurching, alone in the wind. And he's like, I think we can get the votes. I think we can get Kevin and Day. I think we can get Enzo. I think we can make this work. She's like, okay. So she's working very hard to make it seem like David is convincing
her. Okay, I'll keep Tyler if that's what's good for our games. This could work. Okay, David. Yeah.
Come on, Christmas.
She really makes you mad.
I'm trying not to be. I understand that this is a game. These people are people, but like, you know, I just.
Memphis talks to Cody, and this is when he pitches the final three with Cody. He says, look, we pull in Enzo as a third, then we can use him as a number to help us essentially get, like, work our way through the committee. He says, I don't trust Danny and Nicole to keep Tyler. It's very important that they do keep Tyler. Cody agrees. They say it would be a disaster if Tyler left, so they need to be adamant about Nicole voting to keep Tyler, Danny breaking the tie to keep Tyler. They're going to make sure that happens. Hey, at some point in the next couple of weeks, let's pull in Enzo. Let's make a final three with Enzo. And I'm sure in Cody's mind, he's like, oh, this is exactly what I thought Memphis would do. Probably not realizing that he's trying to work a couple of other angles as well. But Cody is still definitely on to some of Memphis's things. Cody wants Christmas gone because he knows that Memphis is close to Christmas, and Christmas would be the alternative final three that Memphis had. So, there's a little bit of a chess game happening between Cody and Memphis right now.
Yeah, exactly what he thought was going to happen is happening, but I guess he didn't anticipate himself being involved. So it's a bit disarming in a way from Memphis. It's like, oh, well, yeah, like I want to work with Enzo, but like, let's pull Enzo in because we're going to be together. So let's just pull Enzo in. And then in Cody's mind, it's like, okay, well, you were going to do this. I thought you were going to do this. But if as long as I can keep tabs on what's going on and we can snip Christmas along the way, then maybe I'll believe it. But until that happens, I'm just going to, say yes, and we'll see where things go from there. So, everybody comes to Cody. Everybody comes to Cody. It's crazy.
Look, they're the commission. I haven't talked about it in a while, but they're the commission.
I forgot all about that.
So, Kevin talks to Day. He's been getting sketched out by Christmas that he feels like this whole thing is too easy. That, David is telling them that Christmas is in to flip the votes, but she's acting like she doesn't know anything when she talks to him. And so they're like trying to decide, like, OK, well, then who is it that weakens the other side the most? Probably Tyler. Right. Devon is very concerned. She's concerned that the real reason David wants to keep Tyler is that he's in the All Guys Alliance. David is definitely in the All Guys Alliance. And Kevin is like, well, I think maybe he was in the All Guys Alliance, then got kicked out of it after the thing. And now they're pulling him back in. And she's like, that's it. That's it. They're like, that's no good. We don't want to let him get in there. So maybe we should get rid of Tyler. And then we can be in good with Danny. We don't want to piss Danny off, because if these guys are working together, then we need to make sure we're in with Danny. So let's maybe consider keeping Tyler, although him being in the game might be better for us. So they're still not sure. They're a little bit back and forth. She says maybe the move is to tell David, hey, let's force a tie and make Danny have to get the blood on her hands. And so if David is in that guy's alliance, then he'll probably push back pretty hard about keeping Tyler. So let's do this now. Unfortunately, this all plays in very well to Nicole's plan this week. So Nicole's plan is that she doesn't want to expose herself to Ian or to the rest of the house as having voted Ian out. She says that she accepts that Ian has to go. She gets it. But what she wants the plan to be is she wants the vote to be 5-3 with David, Day, and Kevin voting to evict Tyler, so that when the vote comes in 5-3, those three were expecting it to be a tie with Nicole. They were expecting it to be a tie. Danny would break the tie. What she wants is that when the vote comes out 5-3, Ian, you are evicted from the Big Brother house, Nicole goes, oh, no, and she cries, and she, oh my God, somebody flipped. And Danny gets to be like, oh, I was gonna break the tie to evict Tyler. What happened? And then Nicole goes to Day and Kevin, and she's like, oh my God, what happened? Did David flip on us? And they're gonna be like, oh my God, he's in a guy's alliance. He flipped on us. I can't believe David did that. And now Tyler's in the game because of David. That's Nicole's plan. And as of right now, it seems like it might actually work.
Will it work, though? Because David talks to Kevin and Devon, and I feel like he will clue them in on who he's actually going to vote for. So David and Kevin Devon and Kevin are not going to be snowed by any of this.
But the problem is that they really think he's in a guy's alliance. They wanted to test him. We'll talk about it, but they both talk to him, and then Kevin talks to him for a long period of time, and Kevin is pushing hard. David, evict Tyler. And David is saying, doesn't make sense. I don't think we should.
But that's why I'm like, why would they? So they're going to know that it wasn't a flip, that he was, it wasn't like some sort of like nefarious plan. So they're not going to get snowed. On top of that, Nicole, keeping up the lie is only going to make it worse for yourself. Why does she feel like no one is going to tell him what happened? Why do you feel like no one's going to roll into jury and be like, oh, by the way, yeah, that when you went home, Nicole was annoying the hell out of all of us, saying, oh, my God, I need the vote to be 5-3 so that he knows that I didn't flip on him. Like, I need for this to happen. What is going to, I mean, you're already pissing them off. They're already talking mad crap about you, Nicole. Like, why do you think that this is going to work?
I just don't understand the logic at all. I completely agree with you on Nicole. I think that it could work in the sense that Nicole might cause some chaos with the other side. But that's not her intended goal. Her intended goal is to get away clean, and that's just dumb and not going to work. But my fear with Day and Kevin is that, Day already doesn't trust David. She thinks that he's in a guy's alliance. They also already know that David has been fake crying. He's been acting. He lied to them about using the power until he finally told them. So they already see David as the kind of person that would make a move like promising to vote out Tyler and then flipping at the last minute and trying to pretend it wasn't him. And like, oh, whoops, I guess Tyler's here. No, it wasn't me. What are you talking about? Maybe he cries when it happens. And I just feel like Dave's going to go off and she's going to be like, I knew it. He's Denzel. I can't believe he did that. Now, I think that there's probably a decent chance that like eventually they come back around, sort of like, you know, this, that's what Fauté always did. They eventually came back around until Fessy, you know, got out Scotty, but that was a whole other deal.
That's what I think is going to happen. I think if David was so forthright about wanting to keep Tyler with them, I feel like, I mean, we have an entire day today, right? So we'll see what happens today. I feel like ultimately Kevin and Devon are not going to want to be on the wrong side of the vote. And if they catch wind, because if David comes back to them and tells them, like, yeah, Enzo, Memphis, Christmas, all these people are not going to vote
Tyler out of this game. It is probably within our best interest, because it's in his best interest to maintain this relationship that he has with the two of them anyway, because you guys are on the outs. So instead of trying to appease this alliance or appease Tyler, you need to be looking out for these people, because like you said, Devon is already paranoid about you. You might as well, if you want Tyler in the game, just come out and say that. Make sure that you guys are on the right side of the vote. And then Nicole's, it is the one that looks dumb as hell. And y'all already suspect that she's trying to do this anyway.
Right. So that's
Devon doesn't.
So that's the thing. Like, as of right now, David has not been convinced to not vote to keep Tyler. So there's a chance that David convinces Kevin and Day to keep Tyler. And then Nicole's plan is really dumb, because she'll this would be really fun, actually. Yeah,
that's what I want to happen. Zero vote.
Exactly. Like Nicole's getting ready to act shocked and like, oh, no, Ian. And then Julie reads, by a vote of 8-0, Ian, you have been evicted. And she's like,
she'll be real shocked. It'll be like, oh.
What just happened? So who knows there? I feel like it's probably going to be the other way around. I think that David will probably, go back to Day and Kevin, and it'll probably be a 3-5 vote. Although that's not locked in at all, because again, they might talk to Enzo. They might talk to Christmas, and they might, like, as you said, they might realize that the votes aren't even there in the first place. So, It could go a few different ways, but all of the ways.
I need Devon to talk to more people. I mean, we haven't gotten to this point yet, but they're already talking about how she's secluding herself from the house and she's not really having a lot of conversations. I really feel like if she would just get out there a bit more, she'd clearly see that this is not working the way she thought it was going to.
Amon, I get so frustrated sometimes watching Kevin and Day, because they spend hours and hours just talking together, trying to speculate and like figure out where, and they throw out so many scenarios and possibilities of like who these people might be working here and these people might be working here. And sometimes they get close and then they talk themselves out of it. And sometimes they're way off the mark and they talk themselves. But they're constantly throwing out, like yesterday they had one idea of where the house stood. Today they have a completely different idea of where the house stood. Tomorrow they'll probably have an entirely different idea of where the house stands. And they'll just keep talking themselves in circles instead of actually getting out there and like, you know, talking to people and like getting a sense of like it's like stop trying to figure out the puzzle and just work with what you have, please.
Yeah, the thing is, like, the puzzle keeps changing every week. Like, the pieces are going to change. So you're never going to figure everything out. And
it's
I
like,
agree with you.
It's like they're in the cube. It's like they're in cube and they're trying to map out cube and they haven't figured out yet that the rooms move. The rooms move, right. Guys.
I agree with you. It's very frustrating, especially like after, I mean, like, look, like I, y'all know I love Devon. I will continue to sing her praises. There is nothing that Devon could really do that would keep me from being a fan of hers. That being said, she's a very, very, very frustrating player to watch all of the time. And this was the week that really should have been where you go out and you make something happen, because the cracks are there. They are there. There is so much dissension within this group. Nicole is out here acting wild. By proxy, Danny is acting wild. She, like, Cody is kind of getting over it a little bit. Memphis and Enzo are starting to. There is so much stuff that could be happening right now, and you could be getting up in there and like twisting the knife, because you did this. You did this, Devon. The reason that they're like this is because of what you did this week. You made the right play, but now you're not following through. You made the play, and now you're like, you kind of checked to see if you were good with Danny. Danny's already complaining because you didn't apologize to her, which I get it. Like, you don't have to apologize for anything in this game. I get that on like a principle level, but like on like a game level, it's like, at least try to then ingratiate yourself again with these people, because they're still going to want you out eventually. It might be Kevin next and not you, but like, you're on the outs right now. And I get that feeling of seclusion, because especially from Kevin, I mean, he's been put on the block 3 times. He probably feels that there is nowhere for him to go, because y'all put me up. I can't trust any of you guys. I try and come to you and you put me, like, I don't get it. But for Devon, like, there's at least a bit more room for her. And I just feel like she's not
taking up that space that she deserves and that she needs. And I don't want her to sit back and then end up on the block again. But I mean, she's also been on the block. So I understand like that feeling of like, how can I trust any of these people? Like, I just wish that she just had a bit more trust to give. I feel like trust is always the biggest thing for her. Like, and if she were just, I just wish that she were in the committee, because I feel like then it would obviously it'd be annoying to watch her steamroll. But at the same time, it's like now that she's on the outs, I just feel like she feels like there's no way for her to get back in. And it's just completely screwing up her gameplay. Like
let me give you some hope. Let me give you my ray of hope for Day is that I see Tyler staying this week, and I do think maybe not next week, and that's where she's probably going to be the most in danger, but probably next week Kevin goes, something like that. The week after next, if Day is still in the house, I do think the game is going to break open a bit, especially with Tyler in the house going after Danny, with Memphis trying to, you know, start things with other people, with Enzo in the house, he's still wanting to break up the committee. Like, I feel like things will start to break open. Secrets will be revealed. The game is going to start to get a little more simple. And I think that Day is somebody who, when she is like similar to, I think, Kevin, similar to even potentially Ian, like if she knows where the pieces are, then she knows what to do. And that's what we saw this week. She knew she had to use that veto. Like, I think she has a great strategic mind that she, the problem is that she gets so caught up in trying to figure out the puzzle that, like we said, she doesn't realize the puzzle is constantly moving. She's never going to fully figure it out. But once she's able to see where the pieces are, she'll, I think, then be able to maneuver correctly. I think that she will be a little bit more competent in these end game competitions, whether they're mental or physical, than people give her credit for. And I think I don't think the Day is completely drawing dead, although I think that she's not looking great right now.
Yeah, I think that there's, I mean, it's the same hope that I had like when Bailey left. It was like, okay, well then maybe now she can kind of like take a bit of a step back and let people sort of like cannibalize one another, but it's clear now that that's not going to happen as soon as I would have liked it to. So I just wish that she would just try and put herself in more of these game conversations, make Danny feel good, make Nicole feel good, because I mean, y'all could really run something if y'all came together and actually meant it. But and you know, and if you and David would actually just
yeah. All right, well, Let's get through the rest of the day here. David's going to talk to Kevin. Kevin says that, hey, David, you can't trust Christmas. She's a baiter. She's a master baiter. She just tries to bait you into giving information. You saw what she did to Bailey.
Oh, wow.
And David says, no, I think Christmas is on board. I haven't given her much. And Kevin's like, no, you can't trust her. I don't know. I don't know if we should do this. And David's like, why do you want to bow to Danny's will in this game? We need to fight. We need to do something. We need to rebel. And I'm just like, David, I love your energy, David. I love that he wants to make a move. He wants to, like, he's like, why are we doing what the HOH wants? Like, he's channeling Kaser right now. Unfortunately, he is a little off in terms of where he's directing that energy, because Ian's is not it. But I love the energy and I love the passion that David has for the game, that like of anyone there, like he wants to be there the most. Him and Kevin, really. And Day. Yeah. Like all three of them like really care about being I'm being too mean to them. It's really only Ian and Tyler and Danny to a degree that are like really like, I don't like being here sometimes. You know, I really appreciate the people that are like, hey, we're here. Like, let's enjoy it. Let's appreciate it. David is definitely one of those people. David also talks to Enzo. They lock in again. They're keeping Tyler. Enzo's like, he's not coming after you, Mio. That's it. David says, like, we can flip this house, man. The other side will be so shook when we keep Tyler. And it's like, oh, he really thinks he's doing something here. Like, I feel bad, but I also, again, I appreciate the energy.
It's the right answer. It's just the wrong work. I'm glad that he's, you know, I mean, but you know, and at least it keeps up this facade on the other side of the house where it's like, oh, they think that this is going to be a flip. That means that they, you know, think that they're doing something. They thought that, you know, Ian was the one, like, so I, at least there's that, but it's just like, yeah, it's kind of like the same thing that he did with like, pretending that he wasn't the one that pulled himself off the block. It's just like, David, you're doing a lot, but I appreciate it. I do.
Yeah. Well, they get some alcohol last night, and that's gonna cause a little bit of drama. First of all, Kevin is talking after a little bit of alcohol. He's talking to Day, and he's eating some chips, and it's making some noise in his mic. He's like, "I'm doing some asthma right now with my chips," and Day's like,
"What?
Do you mean ASMR?" It's like, oh, is that how you say it? And he's just like, crunch, crunch, doing some asthma. Yeah.
There was another word that he got wrong like a couple weeks ago, and I forget what it was, but it was... For you to be in like marketing and like stuff like that, I would feel like you would have to know brands, know names, Kevin.
Yeah.
Come on.
They also talk about Memphis and how Danny's going around saying that like Memphis would be easy to beat in the end. And Day's like, I see her game. She's trying to take Memphis to the final too. And Kevin goes, for real though, I'm petty. I'll give Memphis the check. I don't like the idea of somebody acting like they know what I'm going to do in jury. Let me just tell you guys, at the start of the season, I was like, this is an all-star season. They're not going to be bitter jurors. They're going to reward gameplay. Let me tell you now, this jury is going to be wild. Mm-hmm, this jury could literally do anything. Let me tell you.
Because they're all working together now. So it's like, I mean, well, the majority of them are. So, I mean, when things don't go with the thing, because everybody thinks that they're going to be the one that gets to the end. Everybody thinks that they have the strategy to, you know, who's the best person to bring with me, all that stuff. And when secrets get revealed, like this jury is going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. Absolutely crazy.
Yep. So, feeds go down for a little bit. When they come back up, there was apparently some kind of confrontation that happened, a drunken confrontation, perhaps, between Ian and Danny. According to Danny, he was like trying to guilt trip her very, like really hard. Like, this is all your fault, that you put me on the block and, you know, now I'm in danger. And, I don't really know how it went down. Ian apologized to Danny afterward, but she was pissed, about the whole thing. She talks to Cody and she's like, she's very upset with Ian that he would do that to her. She talks to Tyler about it. She's like, you know, definitely like she hates to do it so much, but like she's breaking that tie. She's going to break that tie against him. Like no way is she keeping him in the house, obviously. But oh man, it hurts. I mean, I just feel so bad about it, but how dare he guilt trip me like that? So I don't know what's going on. I don't know what happened here, but
I mean, I get that it's a game and people are going to say what they need to say, but I'm just so tired of like the gaslighting of the person that's on the block. You cannot be upset with them when you put them on the block and they get upset. Come on, let the guy vent. Let him say what he needs to say. You know, you're just mad because you're thinking, oh man, like that's a jury vote that I might lose. Who knows what he might say to everybody else that rolls in the jury? Is it now going to the jury going to be poisoned against me? This is insane. Like, I get like all of the frustration, but it gets tiring real fast. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that Ian stuck up for himself though. I'll be interested to see that on the on Thursday's episode.
I mean, people keep being surprised, but like I keep trying to like, did you guys watched did, like remember Ian from Big Brother 14 is the guy that was like screaming at Frank. Like,
He's like, not afraid to,
he's got confront. Like he's the guy that was like smoking and like swearing at people. He's got a backbone in there.
Yeah.
He may look adorable and cuddly, but,
he gets provoked.
Yeah.
it comes out. You wanted to provoke me? I'm provoked.
All right. So Nicole also is going to get upset with Cody. She's talking after the feeds come back up with Cody, and she's like, you know what? I just realized that Danny chose to target my number one over your number one, Enzo. That's what I'm realizing right now. And she gets up and she storms off. And Cody's like, what? They literally got like a glass of wine. This is what's happening.
That's what happens when a tolerance goes down. Like, I love that she pulled him out of the HOH room only to storm away from him 45 seconds later. And I mean, she's right. I mean, she did have a choice. Danny could have put up Enzo, and she didn't. So why am I, once again, losing this person that's close to me, but you get to keep everybody in this house? It doesn't make any sense to me. I thought Danny was supposed to be with me anyway. So, I mean, then be mad at Danny. She did it.
She is. She's mad at Danny.
They are going wild.
So Cody goes in, talks to Danny, that she talks about being pissed at Ian. She says that she says to Cody, hey, and she's a little tipsy. I'm getting pretty close to Memphis, and he told me today, don't tell him. I told you. He told me that Tyler and Nicole would be the first to go within the committee. I'm so glad he didn't say you, Cody. He's like, oh yeah, that's great. It's great stuff. they talk about how Christmas, she's like, and we need to, the second Christmas's power expires, cut her. Next week, Kevin has to go. We don't want Memphis going anywhere. We take Memphis to the final three. Well, I would love to sit next to Memphis in the final two. And Cody's like, oh, no, you're not going to take Memphis over. She's, I would never take him over you, Cody. And she's like, oh, and you know what? Tyler's going after Devon because Devon's trying, which is perfect because Devon's trying to be Tyler from 2 weeks ago. She's trying to pit me against Tyler, and he sees that. And so now he wants to go after Devon. It's perfect. So this is where Danny's head is at.
Figure it out, Danny. You got it all figured out. Like, everybody, you got them all pegged. You've made your way to the final two. The real question is, what is Cody going to do with this information? Not that it's really that, you know, interesting, because Cody could have probably guessed this anyway. So,
yeah. And in a moment of like just extreme embarrassment here, Cody is going to be like, all right, I'm heading to bed now. Gotta go. And she's like, no, Cody, please come hang out with me, please. And he's like, no, I'm tired. I want to go to bed. So like, come on. Don't be annoying. Come on, please hang out. Please, Cody, please. He's like, no, I don't want to be up here. I want to go to sleep. She's like, come on.
Let's talk game.
No. We need to stop. You need to get your head out of the game. Well, we don't need to talk game. We can just hang out. Please, come on.
Just for a little more and then you can go.
Just like, no.
Oh, it's a little more. Just a little more.
He's just like, get me the F out of here. I'm gonna go. She's like, are you really leaving? He's like, yes.
I guess Kaser's comment about a love triangle seems to be affecting one of them more than the other. Because clearly.
Oh boy. As I said, Danny, come on.
No, when the party is supposed to end, you want to be like one of the last to arrive, but the first to leave.
Yeah.
Time to go.
Yeah.
Back it up.
Pineapple Banana in the chat says he's just not that into you, Danny, which like that's her whole problem in the game, is that he's not that into her personally and he's not that into her strategically either. But she just doesn't get it, I think. Cody is Danny's biggest problem here in the game by far. So David Day and Kevin are going to convene. David is pitching the idea that keeping Tyler is the best way forward. They have an opportunity to disrupt their numbers. We should take this opportunity. Day is not happy with the conversation. She's like, well, I don't care either way, whatever. Let's talk about this later. And she leaves. I think today, and then she goes to sleep. Like, in Day's mind, I think David just confirmed he's in an all guys alliance with Tyler. And she's pissed off about it. And she goes to bed. Then David and Kevin talk about the vote. Kevin is trying to talk to David, like, I don't think that you're disrupting the house. I think that either one of them can go. I think they're both in alliances. I think Tyler's playing you. I think that, we can't let, because again, he's with Day. He's concerned that David's in an alliance with Tyler, and he's trying to work David away from that. He's like, Tyler's trying to play you. Like, you should still be mad at him for what he did to Bailey. Think about it. Tyler also might need to go. And David is like, okay, I see what you're saying. He's probably like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've been tricked into thinking that Tyler's on the outs when he's really not. Even so, I still think it's better to get out Ian. I still feel like Ian is more valuable to the main people in power, Nicole and Cody. And so, and Danny, that's the core. Even if Ian is a plus one, he's a number for them. So we should get him out. And Kevin's like, I don't know. They have a long conversation. They like, This vote, the only votes to get rid of Tyler still haven't even locked in that they're there. So Nicole's plan to try and, you know, frame David for a flipped vote might not even work because David still hasn't even committed to voting Tyler out yet. It would also be funny if it was a 6-2 vote. And Nicole was prepared to blame the third vote on, Nicole was prepared to claim the third vote, and then the third vote never comes in because David didn't actually vote to evict Tyler. And she's like, oh my God, Day, Kevin must have flipped. I don't know.
Or you. Did or you me. Flip?
Did you do this, Day? We'll see. All right. So then a couple of other conversations late into the night. Enzo talks to Tyler. They're annoyed that David doesn't believe that Day doesn't like him and wanted him out in the past. Tyler says, just so the internet knows, he says, you know what? Old school is way better. This new school thing, everyone trying to be in with each other, it's annoying me. I just want to go after my targets. Old school is better. I'm old school from now on. I'm going after Danny.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, makes it easier for us too, because we couldn't tell what the hell you were doing earlier before. So,
that's what he says to Enzo. Enzo talks to Cody. Enzo's pissed off about Day because this was a minor thing that happened throughout the day. Day brought up to Christmas that Day apologized to Christmas because of what she said in the veto ceremony in her speech. She's like, I'm sorry if that upset you. And Christmas was like, how do you know it upset me? And she said, well, Enzo told me. And so then Christmas went to Enzo and she's like, Day told me that you were told her that I was upset. Enzo's pissed off that Day said that Day revealed that he said anything. And he's like, I gotta be careful with what I say, yo, in this house. Everyone's running back conversations. So annoying, yo. That's it. he's annoyed a day again. Cody and Tyler talk. Tyler's like, I can't believe I'm getting out of this after everything I did. Like, I can't believe everyone's voting to keep me. It's ridiculous.
Insane. Like, any other person would be out of this house. I just don't understand it. I mean, I do understand it, but damn.
Yeah. Cody's like, well, we shouldn't even be in this position. Cody's still very annoyed. Cody, all day long, Cody has been complaining about this, that if Danny hadn't been trying to play nice and play fiddlesticks or whatever, I don't remember, patty cakes, whatever, play nice with everyone and just put up Day when the disruptor power was used, then they wouldn't be in this spot in the first place and they wouldn't have to be getting rid of Ian at one of their numbers. But no, Danny had to play nice with everyone. And so she just had to keep Day off the block. And then lo and behold, Day wins the veto. And now we're put in this bad spot. So as much as Danny's complaining, it's her fault in the first place. And he's very annoyed about it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, and it's kind of Tyler's fault too. I mean, Tyler gave her the go ahead and that makes it very easy, especially if you're put on the spot, to be like, oh, all right, well, Tyler, take a seat on the block. So, but the fact that, once again, the fact that Tyler is getting out of this and he is part of the reason that he is on the block is just like, whoa, like, she's really taking me for a spin. But I'm so glad that it happened this way, because we really got to see all of these players really sort of have to deal with the fact that something is not going their way and all these cracks are beginning to form. So
it's been a week.
Yeah, it's been quite a week. It's been quite a week. I honestly don't know what's going to happen today. I just honestly hope that David and Devon can just sit down. Like, Devon, if you think that David is in a all guys alliance, then just talk to him, ask him about it. You guys literally have no one else. You have no one else. You have to work together. And if there is an alliance that's going on between David and somebody else, he'll probably just tell you about it. And that's going to be able to help you anyway, because like, you don't have the numbers. You don't have the numbers. You need the help. So I just need for them to sit down and talk. That's what I need.
Yeah. We'll see. That's what we have for you though today. Amon, anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, I think that's it. It was quite the day. Still very happy for Devon. I'm still like not coming down from that high. I'm so happy for her. I had so much fun watching the episode last night. But yeah, I think that's it. That's it for me.
All right. So thank you guys for joining us. There will be a roundtable tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, the Stock Watch. We will be rating these players on a Wednesday night just before the eviction. The timing is a little bit more convenient than usual, because we'll have a much more clear idea of not only who will be evicted, but also like the full week of games. So should be fun tonight on the Stock Watch. I will be releasing the survey for you guys to rate the players after this podcast ends. You can find it on Twitter at Armstrong Taren. Rate the players yourself. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. Amon, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Amon Adwin.
There you go. So thank you guys so much for joining us today. I will, of course, be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to update on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And I will see you next time.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.